I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine. Welcome to Search and Rescue, the program that will teach you how to bring your family and friends into or back into the Catholic Church.
Has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission.
For nearly the last 17 years now, as a Catholic apologist, I've traveled the globe preaching the Catholic faith in person, on the radio, and on television. And I've also engaged in formal debates on the Catholic Church with Protestant ministers in Protestant churches. I've written many articles and books defending the faith and trying to explain why all men and women should be Catholic. I've been in countless small group and one-on-one discussions with non-Catholics and former Catholics, trying to help them see why they should come home to the Catholic Church. Given that experience, you'd think that by now I would have managed to bring in all my friends and all my family members into or back into the Catholic Church. Not so. And that is actually one of my greatest sorrows in life. Because although I've had some success in helping to draw other people to Christ and into the church, these would be the people that I meet, even strangers, I've sometimes found myself simply unable to get a fair hearing from some of the people that I love the most, friends and family members, for example. And I know that I'm not alone. I'm sure that you have similar experiences. In my travels, I've met thousands of other Catholics in my very situation. And it's likely that you too are numbered among us. Perhaps you're heartbroken because someone near and dear to you has left the church, or maybe he or she refuses to consider entering to the church. Perhaps you scrimped and saved and put your children through Catholic school, and then when your sons and daughters got into high school or college, you were heartbroken to see them leave the church. Maybe it's a coworker or a close friend. If so, this program is for you and for all those whom you love who are outside the church. Because in it, I'm going to share with you what I've learned from my own mistakes in trying to help people come closer to Christ in the church, and also from a few of my successes, and also from the wisdom of the saints and the wisdom of the church, and especially from those people with whom I've spent long hours discussing this difficult problem, how those of us who dearly love Christ and His church can help bring other people into or back into the church, the people whom we love most of all. Now, regardless of how successful you and I may be in other areas of our lives, I really don't think that we can turn away from this very personal mission of evangelization, nor can we leave it to be done by other people. In fact, probably these first few thoughts that I've shared with you may have brought to your own mind a number of people in your own life, perhaps your sister-in-law, Jennifer, for example, who left the church last year in anger over a sermon that she thought was too harsh. Or maybe Bob from the front office, who brings up religion in the lunchroom, but whom you only seem to drive more deeply into Protestant fundamentalism by your comments. Maybe even your husband or wife, to whom you can't be as close as you would like because of the difference that exists between the two of you about religion. There is a reason that these particular people come to your mind. They've been put into your life by God's mysterious providence. From all eternity, He has marked out for you a special role to play in His plan of salvation. This means that regardless of your circumstances in life, your office, your home, your social circles, your parish, wherever you might be, God wants to work through you. He wants you to help Him search out these friends and family members whose souls may be in danger because they have drifted or are drifting away from the Catholic faith. He wants you to be His instrument to help Him rescue them. Although your temperament and abilities and circumstances are unique to you, of course, God wants to make you His co-worker in this vast drama of salvation. He's calling you to play a vital role, to undertake a spiritual search and rescue mission. And I'm preparing these thoughts for you, I'm giving these thoughts for you in this show, as a way to help you see how you can do it. In these programs, I'll acquaint you with proven techniques from the Church's 2,000 years of wisdom and experience that will help you do three things better. Explain your Catholic faith more intelligently, defend it more charitably, and share it more effectively, so that through your prayers, your words, your example, you'll be able to draw your family and friends closer to Jesus and His Catholic Church. I know that whether you're a housewife or a dentist, a student, maybe you're retired, maybe you're a factory worker or professional, but whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, it doesn't really matter. You can effectively bring your loved ones into or back into the Catholic Church and back into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Right here, right now, you already have all the tools you need for your search and rescue mission. All you have to do is use them. And in this program, I'll show you how. You have to let love fill your heart. As St. Philip Neri said, first, let a little love find entrance into their hearts, and the rest will follow. Those are very true words. And the key to your success in your own search and rescue mission lies in the quiet recesses of your own heart. The answer, of course, is love. To win your family and your friends to the faith, you must develop the heart of an apostle. And the word apostle, of course, means one who is sent. We need a heart full of love for Christ, love for souls. And St. Francis de Sales, one of the great missionary saints, is a good example of an apostle who had very much that kind of love in his heart, this burning love for Christ and his neighbor that enabled him to win many converts, drawing them back into the church of their fathers. In fact, over the time that St. Francis de Sales was working among souls in the Chablais region of France, he was able to convert over 60,000 anti-Catholic souls who had earlier rejected the Catholic Church in favor of Calvinism. St. Francis de Sales had volunteered for a very arduous pastoral assignment in the Chablais region of southeastern France, which was close to Geneva. In that area, 60 years earlier, it had been largely converted to Protestantism by John Calvin. Now, the Catholic Church had recently been allowed to reestablish itself in that area, but uprooting this entrenched hatred of Catholicism that had grown up over those last 60 years was extraordinarily difficult. Yet that's exactly what young Francis de Sales volunteered to do. To avoid the hostility of the local people, St. Francis often traveled by night, even in harsh weather, the snow and the rain, often getting soaked and chilled and on more than one occasion even chased away by people whose houses he came to visit. He actually spent one night secured by his belt in the limb of a tree. He was safely out of reach of a pack of dogs that had been set on him by an anti-Catholic farmer. That's just one of the many adventures that St. Francis de Sales endured cheerfully and out of love for Christ as he carried out his search and rescue mission to those people in that area. And in his 1923 encyclical, Rerum Omnium Perturbationem, Pope Pius XI wrote with admiration about how St. Francis de Sales accomplished this task. He said,
"He was accustomed to repeat to himself, as a source of inspiration, that well-known phrase, apostles battled by their sufferings and triumph only in death. It is almost unbelievable with what vigor and constancy he defended the cause of Jesus Christ among the people of La Chablis, in order to bring them the light of faith and the comforts of the Christian religion. He was known to have traveled through deep valleys and to have climbed steep mountains. If they fled him, he pursued, calling after them loudly. Repulsed brutally, he never gave up the struggle. When threatened, he only renewed his efforts. He was often put out of lodgings, at which time he passed the night asleep on the snow under the canopy of heaven. He would celebrate Mass, though no one would attend. When, during a sermon, almost the entire audience, one after another, left the church, he would continue preaching. At no time did he ever lose his mental poise or his spirit of kindness toward these ungrateful hearers."
Now, St. Francis, we've finished the quote from the Pope there, and I'll tell you, to summarize what the Pope said, St. Francis de Sales could do these things with joy and perseverance because he trusted God to guide and support him. St. Francis himself once wrote, "In all your affairs, rely entirely on the providence of God, through which alone all your plans will succeed. Strive very gently to cooperate with it. Then, believe that if you trust well in God's success, will come to you." Those are wise words, things that we should take to heart and think about when we seek to approach our friends and family. You see, you and I need to develop this very same attitude of trust in our efforts and in God's grace to help others come home to the church. We have to let love fill our hearts. But what was it that sustained Francis de Sales in his difficult search and rescue mission when others had given up before him? He had developed the virtues that flow from an apostle's heart, a heart full of love for Christ. And it is these virtues that you and I must also develop if we are to be able to bring our family and friends into the church. St. Francis knew that he could win no souls without prayerful reliance on God. Being faithful in prayer allowed God's grace to well up within him and flow forth, reaching untold numbers of people. To win souls to Christ, you too must grow faithful in prayer. Remember the example of St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. When she complained to her bishop that Augustine would not listen to her admonitions that he become a Catholic again, the bishop urged her to speak less to Augustine about God and more to God about Augustine. So it is that when you're working to convert someone, do the same thing. It works.
The Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com, look for the radio pull-down menu, and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com, look for the radio pull-down menu, and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Let's return to Search and Rescue with Patrick Madrid on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Measured by human standards, the task of winning 60,000 Calvinists back to the faith seemed to be an impossibility. But St. Francis de Sales trusted in Christ's words. Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." St. Francis de Sales knew that God's grace could melt even the hardest hearts. He wasn't daunted, therefore, by the seemingly impregnable resistance to the church that he saw among the people he had come to evangelize. The greater your trust in God, the better you'll be able to carry out your own work of evangelization. In his search and rescue mission, St. Francis de Sales saw countless conversions, not as a result of his own clever preaching, but because of the power and the mercy of God. What God needed, though, was someone to take his message to the people. And St. Francis recognized that he was merely the messenger. Remember that the messenger is subordinate to the message. This will help you keep humble. The task and the success, if any, will never be yours alone. On the contrary, God is merely using you and me as his instruments to do his will in the world. As St. Francis would later relate in his older years, it was his reliance on God and his commitment to daily prayer and the sacraments that enabled him to carry out his difficult apostolic work. This is very important for us to keep in mind. His fidelity to the little things in his daily life, especially fidelity to prayer, even when he didn't feel like praying, was his loving response to Christ's words, "He who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and he who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much." So you and I have to resolve to be faithful and persevere in small matters, even when we're discouraged, which means, of course, we have to be kind, we have to be polite, we have to say our prayers, like St. Francis de Sales did. And God will make up for what you and I lack. Above all, and we can't forget this, St. Francis de Sales was a model of charity. He was kind and helpful to all that he encountered. In spite of the indifference and the anti-Catholic scorn he sometimes met with, and even the physical threats that he faced, even when he felt exasperated or angry, he didn't set out in his search and rescue mission to win arguments or to accumulate converts as if they were trophies. That's a danger that we can sometimes fall into. On the contrary, he had a deep love for the people he was sent to evangelize. He recognized them for what they were, his brothers and sisters, men and women who were loved by Christ but who had drifted away from the fullness of the true church. He loved them with the love of Christ, but not in a superior or haughty way, but with the love that was humble, the love of a man who goes in search of a lost brother. And by the grace of God, his selfless love for others eventually yielded a vast crop of good fruit. And you too must never look upon those people that you evangelize as trophies, as yet more converts to be won. Rather, you must look upon each of them tenderly as your brothers and sisters, and they soon will sense your tenderness, and it may well be that their hard hearts will melt. The heart of an apostle wins souls. St. Francis de Sales realized this, and he knew that his preaching and good example by themselves weren't sufficient to persuade those intransigent non-Catholics he had worked so hard to win to the church. His circumstances, in addition to the love and to the prayer and to the fidelity in prayer, also required a particular ingenuity. So St. Francis, through prayer, developed a method for sharing the faith in a way that proved to be extremely effective. And I'd like you to pay close attention to this point because it's going to help you in your efforts to share the faith as well. St. Francis de Sales knew that the good Protestant folk in the Chablais region where he had been working had for decades been taught by the government and by religious authorities in the area to reject and even fear the Catholic religion. This is what you might call negative peer pressure, and it was regularly exerted on those who were curious enough about the message of this new Catholic priest to make them want to attend his conferences or to listen to his sermons. However, many stayed away simply because they didn't want to be reproached by their neighbors. I mean, can you imagine if you went to the Mass and you heard the priest preach and then you'd have to go back and listen to your non-Catholic neighbors give you a hard time? That kept a lot of people away. So recognizing this problem, St. Francis de Sales changed his methods. Each week, he would compose and print a brief apologetics essay on an issue that separated Catholics and Protestants. Now, of course, the word apologetics, as we know, means a defense of the faith. Now, these were on topics such as the Eucharist, or the authority of the Church, the infallibility of the Pope, or a Marian teaching, the sacraments. And in these little essays, he offered simple but very convincing, very penetrating biblical explanations for these Catholic teachings. He also took great care to respond charitably to the standard objections to those issues that were raised by Protestant ministers who opposed him. What he did was, early every morning before the townspeople got up to start the day, St. Francis de Sales would slip these little paper tracts under the doors of each home, Catholic and Protestant alike. And he knew that if free from peer pressure, the people could just read for themselves the biblical and historical case for the Catholic Church, that they would be much more likely to consider the Catholic message. And that's precisely what happened. After just 4 years, if you can imagine, 4 years going by so quickly, in just 4 years, through St. Francis de Sales' personal sanctity, his preaching, his writing, and his reaching out to those around him with unselfish charity and genuine Christ-like love, God began to work a miracle of grace. Conversions began. At first, they were scattered and intermittent, a little here, a little bit there. But within a few months, that trickle turned into a steady stream of converts. And within a few years, that steady stream had become a flood of converts. What's more, by the time St. Francis de Sales died in the year 1622, more than 60,000 former Protestants had converted to the Catholic Church through the efforts of this holy man. In fact, many prominent Calvinist theologians and ministers were also brought into the Catholic faith by the gentle apostolic zeal of this holy priest. So, even if you have few talents, you can rely on charity, rely on prayer. You may be thinking to yourself, yes, St. Francis de Sales was impressive, but I'm not like him. Or you may be thinking, he had a gift for explaining the faith and for bringing people into the church. I don't have such a gift. Or you may be thinking, he was a priest. He was trained for that sort of thing. And he lived hundreds of years ago when things weren't nearly so complicated as they are now. And besides, he was a saint, and I'm definitely not. Well, that last part is certainly true of me, as it probably is of you. And your reaction is understandable. It's the reaction that all of us have in one way or another. But the fact that you and I are watching this show, the fact that we're talking together in this show, in the first place, shows that on some level, you feel the need to speak about the faith to someone who's close to you. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Say with confidence and joyful humility, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. That's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You see, that was precisely the attitude of St. Francis de Sales. And you and I have to make his attitude our attitude. St. Francis de Sales knew that he could never make headway among the Calvinists unless he relied on Christ for his strength and guidance. So in spite of his intellect, his gift for writing, and the many other talents that he had, St. Francis de Sales' success as a search and rescue evangelist, as an apostle, was ultimately not a result of his own talents. Let me repeat that, because I want it to have maximum impact for you. The fact that St. Francis de Sales was clever, he was intelligent, he was well-spoken, he was a master theologian, none of those things were responsible for his success in making converts. In fact, someone with relatively few intellectual gifts and minimal social graces could also have accomplished such a mission of converting souls to Christ. And in the history of the church, many such people have done exactly that. The founder of Opus Dei, St. Jose Maria Escriva, he once said, he gave us the key to converting souls to Christ when he said, treat those who are in error with loving kindness, with Christian charity. And St. Francis de Sales and those other great men and women of the church, they knew this. They were able to win souls to the church because they had the heart of an apostle. So when we stop and consider, we realize that none of St. Francis de Sales' advantages would have amounted to anything substantial in his search and rescue efforts if he had not possessed a burning love for Christ and for his neighbor. Now that, of course, is a love that radiates and warms the people around us. This is a wellspring of charity that we have to tap into. It's purely a gift of God's grace. It's not something that you and I can manufacture for ourselves. We have to pray and ask God to give us the special grace of charity. But if we do, it will animate our actions, and it will make us more effective in our efforts to spread the kingdom of Christ. And this key is exactly what helped St. Francis de Sales find success in his mission. And that success lies within your own reach. It's the grace and virtue of supernatural charity. This is what dwells in the heart of an apostle, charity. And with prayer, it can dwell in your heart also. All the tools and techniques that I'm going to talk to you about in this series, all the principles and the maxims that I'm going to share with you, all will be useful to you and to God in helping you in your own search and rescue mission. But it will only be successful if you make a conscious daily effort to love others with the heart of an apostle. St. Therese of Lisieux knew this truth. She once wrote,
love was the true motive force that enabled the other members of the church to act. If it ceased to function, the apostles would forget to preach the gospel. The martyrs would refuse to shed their blood.
St. Paul, the greatest evangelist of all, identified love as the virtue above all that an effective evangelist must have. He said, If I speak in the tongues of men
and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Never forget this admonition from St. Paul. Without love, your own search and rescue mission to your family and friends cannot succeed. Ask yourself now, do I pray daily? Do I recognize that God is the only one who can convert souls and that I'm only his instrument to be used as he chooses? Ask yourself, am I prepared to persist in my efforts to win my loved one to Christ, even if it should take years? Now for our search and rescue action agenda. Number one, devote as much time to praying for those you hope to bring into the church as you do speaking to them. Also, meditate on St. Paul's words about charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And resolve to try to love others as fervently as you try to convert them.
Oh my God, I love thee above all things with my whole heart and soul, because thou art all good and worthy of all love. I love my neighbor as myself for the love of thee. I forgive all who have injured me and ask pardon of all whom I have injured.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Search and Rescue. I'm Patrick Madrid, and I'm wishing you all the best in Christ.